Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
That's crap.
El hombre.
You know what? He's a real turd in the locker room.
El hombre.
If you get infected by Johnny Manziel fever, you had better get to the doctor quickly, because that thing needs to be cured.
El hombre.
Clearwater Casino Resort. Life's a game. Live it up on the waterfront.
I'm freaking hilarious.
El hombre.
He's here, everybody. You look forward to it every week, just like we do. Every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, joins us on the Venue Kings Hotline. Hello, Michael.
What's happening?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Are you? Okay.
Beautiful day. It's a Chamber of Commerce day here in Philadelphia, about 72 degrees, brilliant sunshine, azure blue skies. It's fabulous.
Azure blue skies. You went all Jim Morrison there. That's good stuff. Hey, let me throw this at you. I just read this. Antonio Brown was apparently talking to the media and explaining why he was missing the past 2 weeks of voluntary OTAs. Are you ready for this? He says,
yes.
Quote, I can't go nowhere and work out by myself. Fans come to meet me at the field. I can't do nothing normal. You guys write about me every day. My mom and my kids see it. So we have to deal with these types of things. I started to think to myself, am I really free? I can't really express myself in this game. I can't really tell you how I feel. You guys make the pressure to put pressure on me all the time. Am I really free? I got to asking myself that in regards to taking time away from my kids, I had to get away to free my mind. It's tough being a multimillionaire, being praised left and right, told how great you are. I know.
You should go dig a ditch. Here's what I will say to you. Nobody who is famous likes being famous after once they become famous, or few people do. Because he's right in one regard, that you're gonna have your life just completely dominated by other forces, whether it's the media, whether it's by fans, whether it's now. The funny thing about it is, no one has yet said on the way to becoming famous, "Nah, I'm not gonna do it." You know, they're gonna work every way they can, and then they get there. Love the money, sure do, but it's got to be tough. You know, I feel for him a little bit, but don't grouse so much.
There's always a trade-off, Michael, and I'm having a hard time drumming up sympathy.
I agree there's a trade-off. 100%. You still got me there?
Yep.
Hello? Okay. Yep. I understand. I mean, if you're not making any money, you're miserable. If you're making too much money, sometimes you're miserable too because people are poking their noses into your business. So I agree 100%. What happens with these guys is also they become so self-important because they've been told their entire lives that they're the best thing ever, and you've got 75,000 people cheering for you. It's kind of hard to be a normal person when you're getting that level of adulation.
Do you hate off-season NFL as much as I do?
Yeah, because I want on-season NFL.
Well, that's the point, exactly. I mean, like mini-camps. Are you excited about the Eagles mini-camp?
Oh, yes. Oh, are you kidding? I'm going bananas. No, what I'm excited about is those Edmonton Eskimos at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on Thursday night, baby. ESPN2, 5:30 Pacific. Tune in.
CFL.
Dynamite. Huge. You'll see.
The games.
My Eskimos, that's my team.
Why the Eskimos?
Well, what happened was my friends and I decided that we hated NFL offseason as much as Graz, so we wanted to get some earlier football. So I got our kids, got my friends. Everybody picked a team. I couldn't pick any team that had red in it because I don't wear red because of that horrible place in Columbus. So I picked the Edmonton Eskimos because they're one of the storied franchises, and my friend got the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, which is the team I really wanted.
Is the anthem the biggest storyline the NFL has?
Now, you know what? That's a great question. I think you're right. What's the biggest question right now? People aren't sitting around saying, oh, my goodness, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? Wow, how good is that Los Angeles Rams defensive line going to be? Did the Patriots really try to trade Rob Gronkowski? Is Dreamy Tom going to be playing as well as he usually did? What about those Green Bay Packers? Nobody's asking those questions. How about the Cleveland Browns? Can they win a game? No, it's exactly what you're saying. Who's standing? Who's kneeling? Who's in? Who's out? Who's deplorable? Who's an SOB? Who's going to be thrown out of the country? It's unbelievable.
I mean, once the games actually start, our attention will go towards other things, but we've got all this time to kill in between now and week one. That's the only major storyline I can think of other than guys like, Baker Mayfield and, like you said, all those other sort of ancillary ones.
Well, and you know what's funny? It used to be that we would sit, we would talk about how great the NFL was at controlling the season. So the season ended at the beginning of February. Then you rolled right into free agency. Then you went into the draft. OTAs and mini camps. Everybody took a big deep breath from about the 20th of June till the 20th of July, and training camps started. And it was year-round. Now we're sort of sitting around after the Super Bowl saying, oh, God, it's boring. The draft wasn't that great other than worrying which quarterback was going to be chosen. So I'm with you, Tom. This is a real problem because the league doesn't have the stars. We're going to be talking about Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and to a lesser extent, Paul George, and all of that for months, even after the whole free agent thing is over.
Hey, speaking of LeBron, we were looking at Vegas odds as attached to LeBron's free agency, and the favorite is the Lakers, but the number two team, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I've seen it all sorts of ways. I've seen it. Houston is the favorite. I've seen the Sixers third. The Lakers, you know, it's interesting. Even if Paul George and LeBron James go to Los Angeles, they're not beating the Warriors. I don't care how good Kyle Kuzma is or Lonzo Ball or Julius Randle or Brandon, whatever, what's his name, Ingram. Those four aren't going to form the nucleus necessary to add to George and James to make them beat Golden State. I had someone tell me last week that LeBron wants to stay in the Eastern Conference because he doesn't want to see the Warriors until the finals. So that's possible. On the other hand, if he goes to Houston and they can somehow find a way to split the ball into third so that Paul, Harden, and James all can get enough touches, you know, they almost beat Golden State this year. Now, the interesting thing is, and I implore all fans to do this, watch James Harden when he doesn't get the ball, when it's Chris Paul's turn. He stands there and does nothing, and the man plays no defense. Zero. Now, I don't know how that's going to go for LeBron, right? LeBron, who's sitting there wringing his head in his hands while after the J.R. Smith gaffe, he watches Harden get blown past for the 12th straight time. He may take him by the beard and throw him into the concession stand.
So, quickly, you think he's leaving, though?
I think he's leaving because Cleveland's situation with the salary cap is so much of a mess that you can't possibly do anything to fix it. And he looks around and says, these guys aren't going to win anything with me, and I almost broke my entire body trying to lift us to the championship.
Well, it's only 1 year of that, though. I mean, then after next year, they would be in a situation. Now, I don't know if he feels like he's got a year to give, which would be the same. I agree with you about the Lakers. If he goes to the Lakers, I mean, they'll eventually be good, but it's not going to happen in the first year. So if he wants to be good in the first year, it's Philadelphia, it's Houston, it's San Antonio, it's someone like that.
Or Boston. Now, I mean,
or Cleveland. Know, I mean, as much as you said what he had to do with Cleveland was what he had to do, they were still in the finals.
Sure, but you know, let's face it, Boston, if Irving and Hayward are healthy with how well Tatum played and what Jaylen Brown showed and the depth they have there and the fact that Danny Ainge right now is the best general manager in the NBA, they could become pretty incredible. I don't know if Cleveland can beat them. Toronto's finally going to be, you know, coached properly, we hope. So maybe they'll become better. And the Sixers are getting more experienced, and who knows what they're going to do in the offseason. So the one thing that I caution people against is throwing a celebratory party if you're the fan of a team that signs Paul George. Because Paul George strikes me as a guy who's just good enough to get you disappointed.
How do you think it would be received if LeBron were to do another Decision TV special type thing?
Well, that would be a catastrophe, and I
really
think he learned that when he went back. Oh, come on.
But 2018 NBA is different from 2010, though. I think we're kind of...
Doesn't matter. He would be... But he's different than the NBA. I agree with you that the drama quotient in the NBA is much higher, and it is a reality show. And if LeBron did it, the NBA would love it, because it would just... I think the sporting world would spontaneously combust. You would see people walking down the street just on fire for no reason. So, but he catches so much heat for whatever he does. Okay, everybody's like, oh, fake has broken his hand, faking. Oh, he showed up J.R. Smith. Oh, he turned and yelled at this guy. Anything he does, he gets scrutiny beyond anything else any other great player got. And so if he did that again, he might never recover image-wise.
Is that satisfactory?
Is it satisfactory to me?
We
had the debate earlier.
To me, and I don't disagree with what you said about him it being a mistake for him, but to me, that's what kicked off this entire NBA, the news is just as important in the offseason sort of deal.
I agree, but here's the other thing. Other people there was collateral damage to the four-letter network. Jim Gray's reputation, wasn't he the announcer? That went into the hopper. So you're gonna have to find somebody who's willing to say, an announcer who's willing to say, I'll ruin my career, and a network that's willing to say, we're gonna be made laughing stocks of. Now, there's no shortage of any of that anymore, just look at people's Instagram feeds.
Yeah, somebody would jump at the chance to do that.
Just
Absolutely.
Not LeBron. I'm just telling you, he still lives with the repercussions of that. Yeah. He still hears about it. There's no way.
I think he learned his lesson. I really do. And the other thing was, he lied. I woke up this morning, and I just happened to call ESPN and said, I finally decided what I'm going to do. Really? Really? The man who wants to be a global icon, who's as calculating as they come with his image, just made the largest decision of his professional career when he woke up and looked out the window.
I think that was a young guy doing a thing for his buddies. Remember, he had that crew of guys around him that kind of planned that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think now you got a man. Now you got a man with kids.
And here's the other thing you have to remember, folks. This guy played 15 years. Add three when you add up all the playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he's going to be able to. I don't care how hard he works out. He's not going to be able to lead the league in minutes for each of the next 3 years and score 27 to 30 a game. He's looking for a place where he can kind of sit back a little bit and hang on the perimeter and catch and shoot sometimes. Or I'm not going to have to be the primary ball handler at all times in key situations. That's why the Sixers are somewhat appealing to him, because you have that in Ben Simmons. Plus, if Markel Fultz's head screws back on properly, he can be a weapon. And if they get a few more shooters, they're a heck of a dangerous team.
Speaking of big names potentially heading to Philly, another one that we heard potentially landing there would be Bryce Harper, who would probably warrant a contract north of $350, $75, $400 million. Who knows where it stops, but... What would you think? I haven't seen the Vegas odds like we have on LeBron, but what would you think about the reality of him becoming a Philadelphia Philly? Or do you think he stays
Yahoo!
In Washington?
Yahoo!
Well, no, I know you'd like it, but what do you think realistically? Is there a chance, or do you think he's staying in Washington?
I'd give it about 30%. If I'm Washington, now I don't know if Washington is close to having the money available to do it. Two things for Philadelphia. A, they're paying some of the, I think they get either the lowest or the second lowest salary in the league. And that includes $20 million that they're giving to Carlos Santana and $20 million to Jake Arrieta or something like that. Everybody else is making $180. So they've got plenty of money to spend, and they got $100 million a year coming in local TV money. Plus, if they were to sign Harper, attendance would jump 5,000 to 10,000 a game automatically, which would bring in other revenue. So they can certainly afford it. I don't know if Washington can. Washington's got some other big contracts. And are they really – and I'm going to tell you something. 8 years, $320 million, that is a huge risk. What's Harper hitting now, like 229? There's one person in Major League Baseball I give that money to, and that's Mike Trout. Mm. Mike Trout is going to be – when he gets done – his numbers are going to be like Ruthian almost. And speaking of Ruthian, how about our friend of the South whose ulnar collateral ligament is not helping him become the Bambino?
Yeah, I can't imagine a worse story for baseball.
I agree. This was the guy who was actually going to be somebody that was going to break out and become a star. And now it looks like he's going to have Tommy John surgery. I don't care what the Angels say. Every day that they wait is one more day that he can't get on the mound. We're looking at 2020 now.
Yep.
For this guy. It's sad. It's very sad. But guess what? He had a grade one sprain when they got him. There were people saying he needed the surgery then, and they didn't do it. So it's very unfortunate. It's very sad. But it shows you what happens. Now, he's not getting anywhere near the money that Harper would command. But I'll tell you what. it shows you the trouble when you're signing people to 8-year contracts. The NBA's finally gotten it right. They're not giving these 6- and 7-year max deals anymore, mainly because the players don't want them.
You know, I'm not so sure I understand why Harper would command near $400 million. If you look at his, I mean, his I know he's young, right? So he's only going to continue to get better, but he's only really had maybe 2 good years so far. Are we all just conditioned to believe that he's this player that he hasn't been so far?
Well, I don't think he's got tremendous potential, and remember what does the sporting world live on? It's potential. So you say, all right, he's got the tremendous potential, and you can say, all right, then he's so young that once he reaches that potential and starts to reach it, he's going to be worth the money. Mm. And in baseball, you get a guy who can hit 35, 40 home runs, knocking 120 runs, has got an OPS of 900 plus, who can hit 280 to 300. That's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, you look at his on-base percentage, and I mean, he's got a career on-base percentage of 384 and an 899 OPS.
But you don't pay $400 million for an on-base percentage.
He's 25 years old. I mean, he's...
Well, these days you do. Remember that. OPS and on-base percentage is what people do pay the $400 million for. RBIs, no. Bunts, uh-uh. No, you're going to just keep shifting. Right?
You want to pay for a good bunt?
Well, guess what? Watching the Phillies play, when they got the pitcher up with nobody out and men on first and second, and he hits away into a double play, yeah, I'll pay $400 million for a bunt right there if it gets me a run.
When is the National League going to finally realize the folly of not having a DH?
Stop that right now. It's baseball. Stop with the folly.
Every single league in organized baseball plays with a DH. It's time to get with the program.
As my mother, Mrs. Bradley, used to say, if everybody was eating poison, would you eat poison too?
That's a ridiculous comparison, Mrs. Bradley.
Absolutely. Don't you dare mess with me. She turns 91 next week.
Awesome.
Wow,
that is
Bradley is a saint.
That is
one
fantastic.
1 week from tomorrow, yes, she is a saint. She had to put up with me and my brothers for her entire life.
So you really enjoy watching a pitcher go up there and flail away or just stare at three down the middle?
I enjoy the strategy of it. I don't like – you know what? If I want to see a DH, I'll go to a slow-pitch softball game, okay?
Go to any baseball game on any level. Go to a high school game.
Oh, yeah.
Go to a college game. Go to a minor league game.
Okay.
Go to an American League game.
Using your logic, then let's all use aluminum bats.
Okay. That could be dangerous.
but everybody else is doing it. We should be doing that. Look, just put everybody in all blue or all red uniforms, have the pitcher throw the softball up there, and, you know, go from there.
Well, what's the strategy that comes with a pitcher batting ninth and almost assuredly making an out?
Well, the strategy comes in the middle of this, in the bottom of the sixth inning, where the pitcher's thrown 79 pitches and is cruising along pretty well, and a 1-0, then he's losing 1-0, and there's men on second and third with 2 outs, and he's due to hit. So what are you going to do? You going to hit him, or are you going to take him out? Now, you guys are going to say, oh, you're ruining the chance for the fans to see the great pitcher. No, this is a chance for a manager to earn his money and for you to have to make a real decision.
Yeah,
that's the strategy.
Okay.
But you know what, though, Ombre? When you get to 79 pitches, even in the American League, they're taking guys out because they're so petrified of a pitcher seeing the lineup the third time through. So it's basically the same up here.
Yeah, well, that's because you've got the designated hitter and you got the slow-pitch softball player who sits in the dugout eating seeds for, you know, except for 4 minutes a game when he trots out to the on-deck circle and then goes and swings the bat. It's not baseball. Come
on, baseball everywhere but 12 cities in the country.
Yeah, and guess what? They're the best, and it's 15 cities, A, and 2, it's the best 15 cities.
Hardly.
12
Hardly.
Cities. What year is this, 1983? 1969.
You're stuck in the past. You're mired.
Mired? Yeah, you know what? I'm mired also. The Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776. Tear it up! Let's get a new one. It's too old.
Who's paying attention to that anymore, for crying out loud? What America are you living in?
Exactly. I'm just telling you right now, sometimes the old way is the best way.
You're here.
El Hombre, Michael Bradley is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter @DailyHombre. How was the interaction last week, Michael?
It was fun. One last question for you, Gross. Big new Coke devotee? Were you out buying cases of that stuff when Coke decided to get rid of the original formula? No. I went Coke Classic. Now, if you came up with my friend's idea of chocolate-covered Coke, which is a chocolate can that you freeze and then you drink the Coke and then eat the can, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
So,
perhaps you like basketball without the 24-second clock.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Final score, 32-27.
I could see getting rid of the three-point line in college.
Jump ball after every basket. Back to the old days.
Hey, last thing, is there any? What are the thoughts on Carson Wentz and his ability to be ready for the beginning of the season?
It's funny. This guy keeps coming out for workouts and doing more and more. Now, he's certainly not taking snaps and dropping back, but he's humming the ball, and he's way ahead of schedule. I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, people are saying, does Nick, today they asked Doug Peterson that. You know, does Nick Foles deserve the right to run out of the tunnel on September 6th in the game against Atlanta because he won the Super Bowl? And he's like, look, right now he's our quarterback. I can't tell you what's going to happen in 2.5, 3 months when the opener comes because Carson is doing so well. But, you know, if I'm the Eagles, I'm going to say I don't put that guy out there until that knee is as close to 100% as possible. And if that means Foles starts 2 or 3 games, that means Foles starts 2 or 3 games, and I'm perfectly fine with it. The guy has shown that he knows what he's doing out there.
Michael, great stuff as always. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Daily Ombre. At Daily Ombre is where you're going to find him on Twitter. We'll do it again next week, my friend.
So long, suckers.
The beach rock music and sports at Clearwater Casino Resort is your ultimate destination for entertainment. Live music, comedy, and sports with giant LED screens that put you in the game. ClearwaterCasino.com.
There he is, once again, triumphant with his appearance here with Bob Gross and Tom every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And again, follow him on Twitter at Daily Ombre. All right, coming up, is there a place for Robinson Cano with the Mariners somewhere when he gets back? We'll talk about that in the halftime show next with Bob Gross and Tom.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's time for the halftime show.
The half is not over.
Presented by VenueKings.com.
The half is not over. 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The halftime show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Bob, Roz, and Tom.
It is the halftime show here with Bob, Roz, and Tom. For those of you unable to tune in at the beginning of the show, I'm not sure what's wrong with you, but let's fix that. Be here at noon every day. But we'll bring you up to speed here so we can all move on the same pace. We started out talking about the Mariners who win again. And they now hold a half-game lead over the Houston Astros, first place in the AL West.
Only one team with a best record and better record in baseball than your Seattle Mariners. Only one.
That would be?
Boston Red Sox.
Right. So record-wise, Mariners are the second-best team in all of baseball.
So the upcoming seven-game set, a couple of them there, a couple of them here, basically a preview of the seven-game American League Championship Series.
Exactly right. Yeah.
That's what it is right now.
Do you ever think you'd say that?
No.
Once upon a time, maybe, but not this year. No, definitely not this year.
I was the optimist, and I was saying 84 wins, hopefully.
Yeah, and that was the top end of most people's optimism,
84,
too.
Yeah, 83, 85, much. Somewhere in that neighborhood, yeah.
You looked at the pitching staff, you didn't see it.
No. No, I did not.
Instead, I think they put up a really telling graphic last night of guys, starting staff's ERA. I think, did you see this time, like since May 12th or something like that? Marco Gonzalez was 0.98. Wade LeBlanc was 1.7 or 1.8.
Right.
James Paxton was 2.01. Mike Leake was like 2.35. And Felix Hernandez was 5.87.
Oh.
Man.
So, I mean, it's not only is it happening with the pitching staff, it's happening without a guy that we figured was important. The guy was penciled in as the number two guy, and if this guy has a bounce back, maybe the pitching will be good enough.
Yeah, I think coming into the year, we didn't think that any of those guys would be as good as they have, especially guys. Well, LeBlanc wasn't even here.
Right, we weren't even thinking about him.
Yeah, but we didn't think Gonzalez would be that good, but I don't know that I thought Felix would be as good as any of those guys are.
I didn't think he'd be 5.87, though. I mean, I didn't think he'd be a regression.
I didn't think he'd be that bad, but I didn't think he'd be as good as Marco Gonzalez has been.
He'd be that bad, and they'd have the second-best record in baseball.
It's such a baseball thing to have happen,
isn't it? It sure is.
Well,
and they withstood home runs from the big guys last night and hit them themselves.
Yep, they did. They outbashed them. You had two home runs from Trout, a home run from Albert Pujols, but You had two from Nelson Cruz. Ryan Healy chipping in with a home run. So, hey, Wade LeBlanc was Wade LeBlanc last night. Five innings, two runs, got himself out of a really tough jam, bases loaded.
Huge.
Striking out Justin Upton on an 87-mile-an-hour fastball.
And you know what? We talked about them having some good luck and good fortune. I mean, that was it in a nutshell right there. I mean, of all the guys who Wade LeBlanc owns, it's Justin Upton. He was 3-for-24 against them going into that at-bat. He just happened to be the guy you'd want to have up in that circumstance.
Well, they walked the bases loaded.
They walked Trout. Well, you're going to walk him no matter what.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter who's hitting behind him.
No.
Let's go ahead.
But as it turned out, it's a guy who LeBlanc really pitches well against. I mean, that's sort of some of the good fortune that has trailed the Mariners around as well.
How many games back does a team have to be in mid-June before you bury them, before you say they're just out of it?
My rule of thumb is a 10-10. 10 back, 10 under.
10 back, 10 under. Because if the Mariners...
if you're 10 under 500, you're a lousy team.
Right. Okay, yeah, because the Angels at 37-30 are not a lousy team.
No.
If the Mariners go ahead and sweep... This is a three-game series, right?
Yeah.
They go ahead and sweep them, they're going to be 7.5 back, which is not burying them, necessarily.
Putting them in a hole, though,
for sure. That's a pretty big deficit.
It is, but there's still so much left to play.
The Angels are
a good team, as opposed to a team that's, you know, close because no one's running away with it. I mean... For example, if you look at the Central, like Detroit. Detroit's bad.
They're 5.5 back, but they're five games under 500.
Yeah, I mean they're halfway to being done.
Right.
Even though they're close. They're just not a good team. They don't expect them to turn it around. Angels figure to be a factor even without Otani.
Yeah, I mean if the roles were reversed and the Mariners were 37-30 and
you'd still be feeling pretty good about them.
Right? I know, but if the Angels swept them this week, you'd be feeling different about your postseason chances, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It'd be depressing.
Wouldn't have nearly the momentum and level of confidence that you've got right now.
Right. You'd be happy at 37-30, given what you thought they were going to be.
Still be better than what I thought they would be.
But looking up at the rest of the division from eight games back, that's daunting.
Yep. Story number two, part of this Mariner story, we debated where is Robinson Cano going to play when he gets back. This is on the heels of comments made by Jerry DePoto, talking about, you know, that they're going to have a timeshare at second base.
Is that a baseball term?
No.
That's just him talking. That's a vacation term.
That's a vacation ripoff term.
That's what I thought. That was one of the big problems in Cabo, by the way. They sat me down to try to get me to invest in a timeshare.
Sure.
For like free breakfast.
It was 3 hours long. Yeah. I told him, I said, there's no way you're going to convince me to do this. 3 hours later, he was still trying to convince me.
Of course.
Well, I didn't realize that.
It was bad.
They do that everywhere.
That's worth hating anywhere.
Jerry DePoto talking about what they were going to do when he does come back, talking about Cano, said, quote, we have a pretty good idea of what we want to do, but a lot of it's going to be dictated by where we are in the standings. As versatile and athletic as D is, it's not that easy to go play center field for a month and a half and then say, oh, by the way, you're going to go back and play second base in the biggest game of your career when you haven't been out there. It's going to take some juggling, and we'll have to figure out a way. And this could allow for a timeshare, so to speak, where we keep everybody sharp, but we do know D is going to have to play second base as we come down the stretch, because if we want to be in the postseason, which we do, then we know who our second baseman's going to be, and that's going to be D Gordon.
I don't see what's so complicated about this. I think it's perfectly reasonable to get Cano back, stick him at second base for a month, month and a half, or whatever.
Give D. Gordon a week or two to get used to second base again.
Yeah, two or three weeks or whatever number you want to put on that, and he'll be fine. He's already proven that he switched positions twice, basically. He was a second baseman, then he was a center fielder, then after a month and a half, he became a second baseman again. So, thankfully, he's a versatile player. I don't see this being a major issue.
Story number three. Seahawks mandatory mini camps start today. So we are going to be out there Thursday, by the way. So make sure you tune in for that. We've got no show tomorrow, but we will be out there Thursday. And one person we know for a fact who will not be there. Who do you think that is, Gross?
Earl Thomas. He's going to be shooting craps with me in Vegas.
You're right. Cliff Averill will not be there.
Cliff Averill. Well, he might be there. Hanging around.
As a visitor.
As a visitor, yeah.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas is going to be in Vegas with me shooting dice.
Earl Thomas will not be there. We'll see if Frank Clark shows up. We'll see if Byron Maxwell, I'm just perplexed. I don't get it. You signed a brand new deal this year. I know it's maybe not the deal you thought you were going to get. Nobody was knocking down your door yet. He wasn't there for OTAs. Maybe it was just one of those, hey, it's voluntary and I like working out where I am, wherever that is. But if he doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp, like somehow he's protesting the contract he just signed.
He's cut.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be the
He's not showing up. He's showing up, and so is Frank
Clark. Yeah, I would say he is. Because that just that doesn't even make sense. He's not in the last year of a deal that's now outdated. Right? You just signed this a couple of months ago. So we'll see. But we know Earl Thomas will not be there, and it'll be a continuing story.
Yes, it will be.
Information becomes available, Groz.
I can't wait.
Story's got legs,
I can't wait to investigate it from every single angle, every day of the week.
It's got legs.
We'll never know this, but I would love, I was just saying to you in the break, I would love to know what the best offer they got was.
Yeah, during before Thomas. The draft.
Like, what wasn't enough that they couldn't pull the trigger on?
Sounds like if you buy into the reports that were out there, third round from the Cowboys, third rounder.
And they just wanted
more.
More.
Yeah.
Because now they're in but now they're in a situation where they have an unhappy player, and they probably would have known that all along. They would have known that.
Well, according to John, he talked to his agent. He said he was going to be there. So whether they bought that or not, I don't.
If they bought that, that would justify or explain why they didn't pursue a trade more aggressively. They figured he was going to.
Yeah,
be
but
there.
Then if you're John and you hear that, you would have said, "Are you sure?" About 500 times.
He might have.
You think so?
It's possible.
Kept calling him. Hey, are we still good?
Still on track?
Then out of nowhere on Sunday.
I haven't talked to him.
Guess what? I'm not coming in.
Yeah, maybe he did that to the surprise of his agent. Earl's a guy
who's
prone to impulsive behavior. True. All right, there you go. There's a little bit of what we touched on to open the show. Now we answer your questions. Any topic or subject is fair game. Text in those questions to 710-710, the Coors Light text line. Have an opinion already? Up next with Bob Groz and Tom.
This is Have an Opinion Already on the Bob Groz and Tom Show. Three loudmouths, three questions, and one giant tub of hand sanitizer. Right, Bob? Let's get it on.
Let's get it on, baby. This me.
Nope. Try again.
Let's get it on.
Question one.
The Wee Man just went full Colangelo, throwing his lady under the bus for getting him sick. That's not the process, Tom.
You kind of did.
I did.
Yes, so
you
did.
You were in the bathroom, but I was doing my...
I was thinking the exact same thing.
I was doing my Northwest face read, which has to do with, you know...
You had to justify the fact that you sound clogged up like you used to.
I can't be doing a read like this and saying how successful it was.
You didn't have to blame your girlfriend for getting you sick. You could have just said you were sick.
Nah.
What did you say?
She gave me a bronchial infection. Yeah.
What's the difference? Are her feelings going to be hurt or something?
I don't know. You would know better than I would.
Yeah.
No, they won't. They won't be.
But I mean, what would it matter if you hadn't have said that? If you just said you had a bronchial infection,
it's just additional information.
Okay,
you wanted people to know it wasn't his fault.
Not essential.
Right.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't get sick on his own. It's somebody else that's got to get him to that point.
Don't you think she'll be a little upset?
No.
Okay.
She's happy to not be sick anymore herself.
Well, so. That I understand.
That's pretty funny, though. Full Colangelo. Anytime you play your wife, you go Colangelo.
That's what it is now, going to full Colangelo.
She did it.
Hopefully you don't suffer his same fate.
Right. When we make the wild card game with a better record than the Central Division champion, will we be complaining about the lack of reseeding?
Yes.
Yes.
If they lose.
If they win, it's not a big deal.
If it's victory, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, they would still have to... Well, Cleveland would still host an opening round series,
yeah,
though.
Correct. As division winners.
Right.
We'll see if they have a better record than Cleveland or not.
That's not necessarily true. The wild card team would not host. We know that for sure.
Right.
It wouldn't necessarily be Cleveland, but...
Right.
Right. You know what? I think that they should reseed everything.
Based on record?
In life?
Yeah.
Hit the start over button.
No, shouldn't, like in the Final Four, for example, you get a 1 and a 2 on one side and then a 7 and an 11 on the other. They should reseed that. Isn't that reasonable?
No.
No.
Whoa.
A lot of heat coming your way.
But I can see doing it in the NBA. That way you'd have a Warriors-Houston playing in the finals versus... a weak team from the Eastern Conference going in because you see the two conferences that way.
You just get rid of divisions altogether.
And I can see doing it in Major League Baseball if you want to do it by record, and so you reseed after every round based on record.
Yeah, I think we need
to get Ashley agitated.
I know.
You know I'm passionate about my college hoops.
Well, so am I, but like I could see, look, I'm not in favor of that, but I could understand them wanting to do it. is
I could see how they would want to do it.
I would. There's very little about the tournament cross that I want to change.
I understand. I think Cinderella versus Cinderella, if you've got it, is
on one side.
It's unbeatable.
It guarantees a Cinderella in the finals. That's
a fact. And there's nothing beats a Cinderella, Tom.
That happened, though. The year, I think it was VCU and Butler were both in the Final Four.
Right, and Butler came within about a half inch
of beating Duke.
Of beating Duke on a last-second shot. Well, you know what? Very few people remember that moment because he didn't make the shot. But if he had made it, it would have been one of the biggest upsets in college basketball history.
And that would have been one of the best finishes to any game we've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Really, in any sport.
Absolutely.
Next.
Question two.
Should the Mariners sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado this offseason? Or maybe more realistically, Patrick Corbin or and/or Josh Donaldson?
Sign them all.
Yeah, just go buy them.
It's just money.
I don't see them pulling off another Cano-type deal. Now, if you were going to, doing it with a 25-year-old would make much more sense.
Sure.
You'd almost, outside of the unforeseen happening, assure yourself of a guy who's, maybe just a shade past his prime when the deal's done, if you signed a 10-year deal, right? So, having said that, no, I don't see that happening.
We don't really talk at all right now because the Mariners are doing so well. We haven't talked at all about what's going to happen to this team next year.
Nah, we got plenty
no
of time
point.
To worry about
I don't, that. I don't want to.
Hey, do you still have that Russell Wilson Trace Me app?
I do.
You interviewed Felix Hernandez on it.
What's that?
You interviewed Felix Hernandez on it, yeah.
Huh.
For his Legends series.
Does he say, Felix, is it weird to know I can throw the ball harder than you can now?
He might.
Oh,
Tom would know. That's tough, though.
I've got a little Felix, more steam on my fastball than you currently do.
You don't think Felix could throw the Duke?
No.
Speaking of throwing the Duke, you know who threw the Duke today? We're going to go around the NFL in a minute.
But yeah. Mr. Luck.
Yeah, finally.
For the first time in a long time.
Actual footage of that.
Question three.
You'll have to look at that app and see if there's anything interesting on it.
Yeah, I was just sifting through it. I didn't see it, but it's a bit confusing. There's a lot on there.
Is that right?
Well, there's...
I guess what they're going for, a bit confusing?
Just keeping you sifting through all of it. Just spend your time on there looking for what you want.
You've got your QB to QB.
Right.
You got something to do with Alvin Kamara.
It's under Legends.
Legends?
Okay. Is there a Legends thing?
Oh, there's Russell Wilson. Sierra. All right, maybe it's under here. Russell Wilson.
It's according to the
legend,
article.
Legends episode.
That's it.
Okay. Oh, Felix Hernandez. There he is. Followed by Layla Ali and Steve Kerr.
Hey. All right.
All pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
Bill Russell.
What was that about?
Nothing.
Bill's, not a Russell fan. Hates
Bill's,
him.
Bill's fine.
Anything else?
No, we're good.
But this is question three.
Oh, we haven't done three yet?
No.
No.
Good Lord.
Got into your Trace Me app.
Yeah, I interrupted with the Trace Me app thing and knocked you off the rails. Which was exacerbated by your weakened condition.
I'm just a little bit slower today.
Yeah.
My fastball is only 88 miles an hour, sorry. I don't really see any other good ones here, unfortunately.
All right.
What about this? If you hate your job and want to quit, but you need the size of the paychecks and don't have much other options that'll pay as much, do you quit or suck it up?
Suck it up.
Yeah, unless you've got a boatload of money in the bank you can live on, you better suck it up that you find something else.
It's like you were saying.
You can't even be asking that question, man. What are you thinking?
Well, you were saying with LeBron before.
Yeah.
You know, can you take $5 million less, $10 million less? Maybe you could, and he's going to be fine.
Oh, he can absorb that
loss.
He'll
pay the rent.
Yeah.
No problem.
The lights will stay on. His kids will eat.
Right, but if I go from 100 to 50,
it's hurt.
It's a lifestyle.
You're going to feel it.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Have an opinion already every day at 1:45. Meanwhile, which owner said trading his superstar player is a bunch of hogwash? We're going to go around the NFL next with Bob Grosenthal.